So I'm just sitting with bated breath. Let's give a warm welcome to Andrea Robert.
Are you using this?
Just remember that there are a select few of us that God loves so much that he doesn't want to share with anybody else on Valentine's Day. And I was just mauled by a handsome man over there. First time ever on Valentine's Day. Okay, get ready here. They wanted to know what I was talking about, and I said, which lady I was going to talk about, and I said, women. And they said, well, which one? I said, all of them. So here you go. So I've spoken about the first bit on this several times before, but you have to know this to get the rest of it. So a little bit of a repeat. Psalm 33, 6 to 9 says that the Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke the word, the world began and appeared at his command. Spoke. Boom. Phenomenal cosmic power. God made the world. Phenomenal cosmic power. And then God made you. Like, I showed a video a while ago, and it was, I showed in the beginning, and it had, who's the BBC guy's voice on it, and the birds were made, and the oceans were made, and then long dramatic pause, God made. And that's how I think of it. It's like, wow. And God made us. But there's a difference. In Psalm 33, it's talking about God breathing the stars into existence, God breathing the earth into existence. And there it was, poof, right? Like, so much power and all of that. Hard to wrap your brain around that. But Psalm 139 says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. So there's a difference here. What is this? It's a knitting pattern. You can tell who the knitters are. It's a knitting pattern. It looks unbelievably complex. I do not knit. This looks awful to me. Right? What did God do when he made the earth? He breathed. What did God do when he made you? He knit. The two words are different in Greek. They're different. One is, and one is. Do you get it? One of them takes planning. One of them, well, not that he didn't plan the world, but when it came to me, I took work. I'm sure I took a heck of a lot more work than some other people. But I took work. There was a pattern. Like, I was designed specifically as me. Did you know that if laid end to end, an adult's blood vessels could circle the Earth's equators 4 times? Your mouth produces 1 liter of saliva each day. With all of this chocolate, you might be producing a little more today. Why didn't they make Valentine's Day with chips? I love chips. I could do less with chocolate, but I love chips. I wish there was a chip day. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Scientists estimate that the nose can recognize a trillion different scents. Just like fingerprints, the tongue has its own unique tongue print. So if you were thinking of killing somebody with your tongue, don't. They'll be able to find you. So you need to know this above part. You have to know that part of the wowness of God. The wowness that he individually created you. Okay, you got that? You sitting in your seat right now, as all of you, with all of your lovelinesses, is not a fluke. Exactly how you were made is how God wanted you to be made. Got that? That's so hard for us to get. Why? Why would a God who can do all of that put so much work into me? King David actually asked this question too. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Now, this was way back. This was way, 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 way back, right? David, King David, didn't have a telescope to see the stars, to know that there's a Hubble spacecraft out there, to know how many estimate there is. There was no microscopes back then to see the tiny little details. Did he know that there was an SA node and all the electrical systems of the heart? Probably not. He just knew that it beat. And he just looked with his naked eye and went, wow, you made this. And then decided to make man and to come down for us. It would be like, think of some person who's really, really, really important. Really important. So the first person that came to my mind is the queen, the former queen. So aside from the fact that she's passed away, if the former queen came in here right now and sat down beside one of you and put her arm around you and said, hey, Kathy, hey, Carol, how are you doing? How's Merritt? How are the kids? How's the new puppy doing? And you looked at her and you went, of all the people in the world that you could have sat beside, of all the people in the world that you know, you sat beside me, chose out of all the people in this room, but you chose to come and sit right beside me, and then ask me about my family. Like, you know and you care. Right? Wow. Okay. This is so important. Why did he do it? Revelation. So we go from the beginning, we go to the end. Revelation says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for you created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. The New Living Translation says, they existed because you created what you pleased. Andrea's version is, I made you because I felt like it. And I wanted to. I like it. I wanted to. I wanted to make you. I had pleasure in making you. So I was coming about this. I knew I had to speak, and I didn't know what I was supposed to speak about. And I didn't know what lady to speak about. And so I was sitting in church one Sunday, and this song came on. Then one day I'll see him as he sees me. That's where I stopped. And I went, how does he see me? Because I know what I see when I look in the mirror. I don't like it. I am that piece of clay that's on the potter's wheel and going, I think you made the end part of the vase a little too vasey. Could you not have stretched me out a little bit? I would like to have been a flower vase and not a milk jug, please. Did you have to put so much fizz at the top? Like, could you not have made me a little quieter? Could you not have? I don't want to look in the mirror. I don't like what I see. I don't like that. And I started to cry because I started to think, what would it be like to take God's eyeballs out and put them in my own head and look at me? Right? So if he knit me and did all of that, what would I look like? So I started to go, okay, what do us as women look like? Why were we made? So this started a very long process. You should see the notes that I have. I started as far back as I could of why were women made and what was the role and some of the various forms throughout history of the progression and some of the laws that have it. And you know what? One thing that I learned is that you cannot and we should not ever look back through the Bible with our eyes of today. Because they don't, like when you're looking at the roles of men and women and that kind of thing, when you look back with our eyes today of gender roles, gender equality, blah, 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 it doesn't fit. Because God had a specific design. So God's design at the time, okay, when he made man and woman, we don't have the technology that we had today. That's pretty simple. So the whole focus, the main thing that was of utmost importance was the family unit. So male and female, the family unit. They had children, the family unit. That was their whole, we have to make sure that this family unit survives. It's survival, right? So when we look back and go, oh my goodness, that poor woman, she had to go and get water from a well. Did she think that? No, it was just survival. It was just survival. When we put our feelings onto that time period, we do them a great disservice. So that was number one that kept coming over and over in the research is we kind of look at this and go, oh, how awful. But when you have to study the research as to why it was like this. So what would have happened with a farmer's family, because it was the Hebrew nation, the Israelite nation started as farmers, and then it progressed. So as each time they progressed to a different city, a different place, then the roles changed. So they weren't no longer needed to go out and do sheep or whatever, because now they were in an urban center. And so now they were, countless times women were buying and selling fields and doing dyeing their clothes and doing all that kind of stuff. It changed. Their roles all changed as they continued to progress, which was really interesting. The laws of who could own property, all that, just, it was interesting to read all the things that were assigned to women at the time. So let's start way, way, way back at the beginning, because I wanted to know what this looks like. So Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, and over the livestock and all the wild animals. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living thing. Them, together, as a unit, right? Together, as a unit, this is the beginning. This is the original design, not one over the other. Together, I want you to go out and do this. G- Genesis says that God looked at Adam and said, man, this guy really needs a helper. And one that is suited to him. And so I just have it in my head. It said that not one of all the, because he made the animals, not one was suited to him. And I just have this picture in Andrea's mind of all the animals parading in front of Adam, and Adam and God going, nah, nah. Trunk, nah. And then God saying, I'm going to make exactly what you need. So he created humanity in two discrete complementary genders, both equally bearing the image of God. Both. I pulled this quote from ChristianFellowship.org and God's Design for Women. Help does not imply weakness or inadequacy in worth, nor does weaker in form imply weaker in function. For example, a rope can be cut with a knife, whereas a piece of steel, it can't. But the rope can tie the hands of a strong man, or connect two mass objects and pull it, whereas this piece of steel can't. The steel, it has a stronger surface, yet the effectiveness is determined by its use. To call this rope less useful or less valuable would not be a correct statement. Both have different jobs. This holds up a table leg. This is my dog's walking collar. Both of these have different jobs. Women's differences from men should be celebrated, not portrayed as a deficiency in worth. Seeing these differences as a negative thing will either make you think derogatory about one, for some women, or defensive. Both of them are wrong. So if you look at this and go, wow, it's so strong and it's so ugly and this is so much better. No. One doesn't, they both have different uses, both completely different uses. Contrary to secular opinion, genuine biblical Christianity affords women a higher degree of dignity and respect than any other worldview, past or present. I looked at a lot of the, like, from the design of what God said for women in the very beginning, when sin happened, we just gradually, from the Garden of Eden, messed it up in the timeline really bad. So now we've got, like, which one is better? Well, they're both as effective. They're both effective in their roles. Together we use these. The one doesn't do this to the other because that will happen. Both of these are effective, and when we recognize that I don't need to trump the man and the man doesn't have to trump me, that God's design originally is that we are to work together. Wow. So somehow in my head, I had it that when Jesus came to earth, he turned the tables. He changed the worldview of women. And in a way, he did. In a way, he did. But I missed the concept for me. I missed the concept that there was a design in the very first place. That God designed us in the very first place to be in harmony, that he had a role for us specifically as women in the very first place. And when he came to the earth, like, he had women as his followers. He spoke to women. And in my head, I don't know why I got this, it was like, oh, no, he revolutionized it. He just brought the attention to, hey, guys, you've messed this up. This is the way we should be. We have gone, so if you look in to, this is the 1940s, the lens of what we look at women through is so warped. Even now, it's so warped. So in the 1940s, women in the United States, look at this. If men hate the sight of you, read this. Thousands of skinny girls gain 10 to 20 pounds real quick, and the men suddenly flock to them. And then we switch to the curves of youth. You need to reduce your chin. Don't stay too fat. If you want a frown eradicator, you can pay $2 for it. If you want a chin reducer, $2. Neck and chin reducer. Like, don't stay, bust reducer. This is some form of girdle. Cigarettes are like women. The best ones are thin and rich. This one got me. Person's Day. How far we have messed up. This is October 18th. It's Person's Day in Canada. It marks the day in 1929 when the historic decision to include women in the legal definition of person. Yeah, the legal definition of person, 1929, was handed down by Canada's highest court of appeal. This gave some women the right to be appointed to the Senate of Canada and paved the way for women's increased participation in public and political life. However, this did not include all women, such as Asian women and Indigenous women. That was to come later. They still weren't people. Is that what God's design was for us? No. Man, have we gone? We have gone so far. If you think of it, we have gone so far from, I want you to rule the earth and fill it, both mankind together with the animals, and go forth and multiply, to you are too skinny, you are too fat, you are not a person. And now we have women who are demanding to be heard as women because they want to be a man. We've just come from a pendulum, right, of really far pendulums in what God's design was for us. You will never add up. You will never measure up. If you don't have kids, you need some. If you are married, get rid of them. If you're too fat, you better be skinny. If you're too skinny, you need to beef up a little bit. If your hair is curly, you need to straighten it. If it's straight, you need to curl it. We will never measure up, ever. We've seen it throughout history. And somehow, I know I'm preaching to, when I look in that mirror, I don't like it. And I have to tell myself, Andrea, God made you this way. One of my good friends is sitting over here. We are polar opposites. If I want to get Grace something for Christmas, I find the ugliest thing I can find, and I wrap it up. And she will love it. We're completely different. If you want somebody to come over and help you make jam and preserves, don't ask me. Ask her. But if you want somebody to help you tear down a wall or build your shed, ask me. God has a unique design for each one of us. I walked in this morning, Carol Drew comes up to me, she said, do you not own any dress clothes? So I was wearing dress clothes this morning, and I put it on and I went, oh, that makes you look pretty frumpy, girl. So I opened up the closet and I went, oh, it's Valentine's Day. This is red. I'll wear that. You'll all think that's the only red thing I have. No, I had a really nice red top, but I didn't want to wear it because I'm uniquely me. And I hate dressing up. That's okay. That's okay, because God has designed you and me and Grace and everybody else differently. So she can reach people that I can't reach, and I can reach people that she can't reach. And you have an effect on the people around you because you are you. And I have the effect on people around me because I'm me. I have an impact. You have an impact because you're you. Don't try and change you. Okay. I love this clip. Watch this. This is from The Chosen. Jesus at the well with a Samaritan woman. He's not supposed to talk to them. At that time, rabbis weren't even supposed to speak to women unless you were related to them. Not only that, the Samaritan people were, the Jews didn't talk to the Samaritan people. So Jesus comes along and asks this woman he's not supposed to talk to for several reasons. Can I have a drink of water? And she's like, whoa, you must be in dire straits. And then he goes, oops, sorry, I should have said please. Right? Recognizing not that she was all these things, recognizing that she was a woman. I forgot my manners. Well, he didn't. He did it on purpose. But you see the look that she gives him? Like, wow, wow. Through this series, we've learned a lot about women, right? Each one, Hannah, Ruth, Rahab, name it, all the ones that you've picked. God had a specific design for them. They were all in the Bible. He could have made all of us men. He didn't. He could have made us all of us women. He didn't. He had a specific design for each one of us. And he used a whole pile of the women in their state as they were. In the lineage of Jesus, it mentions five women: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. All of them had tarnished reputations in some way. Tamar had her children by acting as a prostitute. Rahab was a prostitute before she joined the Israelites. Ruth was a Moab. She hated people in scripture. Bathsheba had an adulterous affair with David. Mary, though pure, was with child out of wedlock. Rahab and Ruth were Gentiles, something that you would never expect in the lineage of Jesus. Each one had a role. Each one with their warbles and faults and all that, God said, no, I can use you. I want you this way. I want you because I have a purpose for you. Certainly, the grace of God is displayed in this record. Do you think that this was an accident that God put these women in his genealogy? As Nicholas Sarlo says, by no means. As soon as you and I can grasp the idea that God made you and me the exact way he did for a specific purpose, then I can relax in knowing that God is in control of all the circumstances in my life. Okay, you have it. You've got control. There was no glitch in the factory when God made you. I have 3 minutes. To tell you a story. We're going to switch. I bought this story, the e-version of it, so that I could show it here. Ready? The Wemex were small wooden people. All of the wooden people were carved by a woodworker named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, others had large eyes. Some were tall and others were short. Some wore hats, others wore coats, but all were made by the same carver and all lived in the village. And all day, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of Golden Star stickers. and a box of gray dot stickers. Up and down the streets all over the city, people spent their days sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, they always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint chipped, the Wemex gave dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still others knew big words or could sing pretty songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Wemex had stars all over them. Every time they got a star, it made them feel so good. It made them want to do something else and get another star. Others, though, could do little, and they got dots. Punchinello was one of those. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, the others would gather around and give him dots. Sometimes when he fell, his wood got scratched, so the people would give him more dots. Then, when he would try to explain why he fell, he would say something silly and the Wemex would give him even more dots. After a while, he had so many dots that he didn't want to go outside. He was afraid he would do something dumb, such as forget his hat or step in the water, and then people would give him another dot. In fact, he had so many gray dots that some people would come up to him and give him one for just no reason at all. "He deserves lots of dots," the wooden people would agree with one another. "He's not a good wooden person." After a while, Punchinello believed them. "I'm not a good Wemmick," he would say. The few times he went outside, he hung around other Wemmicks who had lots of dots, and he felt better when he was with them. But one day, he met a Wemmick who was unlike any he'd ever met. She had no dots or stars. She was just wooden. Her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers. It's just that the stickers didn't stick. Some of the Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up and give her a star, but it would fall off. Others would look down on her for having no stars, so they would give her a dot, but it wouldn't stay either. "That's the way I want to be," thought Punchinello. "I don't want anybody's marks." So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it. "It's easy," Lucia replied. "Every day I go and see Eli."
"Eli?"
"Yeah, Eli, the wood carver. I sit in the workshop with him." "Why?" "Why don't you find out for yourself? Go up the hill, he's there." And with that, the Wemmick who had no stickers turned and skipped away. "But will he want to see me?" Punchinello cried out. Lucia didn't hear. So Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around, giving each other stars and dots. "It's not right," he muttered to himself, so he decided to go and see Eli. He walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped into the big shop. His wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tiptoes to see the top of the workbench. A hammer was as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed hard. "I'm not staying here," and he turned to leave. Then he heard his name.
"Punchinello?"
The voice was deep and strong. Punchinello stopped.
"Punchinello, how good to see you. Come and let me have a look at you."
Punchinello turned slowly and looked at the large bearded craftsman.
"You know my name?"
the little Wemmick asked.
"Of course I do. I made you."
Eli stooped down and picked him up and set him on the bench.
"Hmm,"
the maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at the gray dots. "Looks like you've been given some bad marks."
"I didn't mean to, Eli. I really tried."
"Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think."
"You don't?"
"No, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give you stars or dots? They're Wemmicks, just like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think. And I think you're pretty special." Punchinello laughed. "Me? Special? Why? I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you?" Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hands on those small wooden shoulders, and spoke very slowly. "Because you're mine." That's why you matter to me.
Punchinello had never had anybody look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say.
Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained.
I came because I met someone who had no marks, said Punchinello.
I know. She told me about you.
Why don't the stickers stay on her? The maker spoke softly. Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them.
What?
The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers.
I'm not sure I understand.
Eli smiled.
You will,
but it takes time. You've got a lot of marks. For now, just come and see me every day and let me remind you how much I care.
Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground.
Remember, Eli said as the Wemmick walked out the door, you are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes.
Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the floor.
Good morning. Before we close in prayer, I'd just like to remind you that the papers on the table and the little boxes are there so that you can write any prayer requests you might have or praise items. And if any one of you would like us to pray with you, please join us in the office across the hall. Let us pray. Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Creator of heaven and earth, we thank you that you are the one true living and eternal triune God. Thank you for bringing each one of us here this morning, Lord, to hear from Kathy, her sweet, informative, progressive, and humorous message on chocolate. And thank you for bringing Andrea here this morning, Lord, to share with us her beautiful, informative, progressive, and humorous message on how you created us, Lord, in the image of God we were created. Each one of us, beautiful on the inside. Made according to his perfect design and purpose, Lord. We thank you so much for who you are and for each one of us the way we are. In Jesus' name, amen.